It's been 5 months since the novel coronavirus outbreak was declared a pandemic, 9 months since the virus was first detected. And since those early days, scientists around the world have dedicated countless hours to understanding the tiny pathogen. Despite that work, little is still known about the virus that has infected tens of millions and killed hundreds of thousands. And humanity's understanding of it changes day after day. I'm Adam Toy, and this is Why. We continue our conversation with Horatio Bach, an adjunct professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at UBC's Faculty of Medicine. If you missed the first part of this conversation, head to the This Is Why podcast to listen to part one. It'll be episode 33, and the podcast can be found anywhere you find podcasts or on curiouscast.ca.
I know that the guidance, the current guidance from the World Health Organization, the Public Health Agency of Canada, other organizations, public health organizations say that the spread of the novel coronavirus is through respiratory droplets, and that's part of the reason why face coverings, non-medical masks, are being recommended. Mandates are being rolled out because generally it's thought that those can prevent your own respiratory droplets from getting out there. However, there's increased numbers of arguments that I've seen, one from Nick Wilson from Australia, and then Jose Luis Jimenez, a professor at University of Colorado Boulder, saying that the arguments that SARS-CoV-2, the viral particle that travels in these respiratory droplets, could also be in the air in aerosols, in finer droplets than, or in finer particles than respiratory droplets. I'm wondering if you can tell me about where that argument is and how. Let's start there. Have you seen these arguments? What is as far as this being a potentially new area of guidance and new science, how does this fit into what we know about the virus?
Sure. Yeah, there are some studies that were published also about different restaurants that they show that they can circulate through the ventilation system or the AC, basically. It's a subject that, we need to get more information, but definitely it's probably, because you have to understand when we talk, we have this, what they call this vesicle or droplet. They are, that's normal when we talk, but it's not only one size. You have different sizes. And if you have a little, your ambient when, or your place when you are talking is a little warm, so you have to think, okay, maybe the droplet is drying out and the virus is free to go. So the ventilation system, or the AC, they are basically doing like a releasing cold air, but they have like another part. They take back the flow and they recycle all the time. So definitely can be a potential dissemination for the virus. We have to understand that you cannot filter the virus. The virus is so small that we don't have any system to filter to get rid of the virus. And if you have that, that will be clogged so fast, because you are not going to take only the virus. You will take dust, bacteria, or a lot of system that sometimes can escape the normal filters. So that will be clogged probably in very short time. So you need to change all the time. Of course, it's not feasible. So there are some studies now that are making is to try to use the air conditioning, the AC basically unit, as a way to disinfect the air that is, circulating back and forth. So that may be the option, that if you have a product that you can release inside the AC or on the filter of the AC. Again, the filter that you have in the AC is not filtering viruses. The virus is too tiny. You cannot filter that. So they will go, they will pass through the system. Of course, if you have some particle of dust or other type of particles there, they may be attached, but basically it doesn't prevent that will go and disseminate other parts of the room, or if you are in the central AC, you know, that is giving to different places, different rooms. But basically, I think they're talking, you know, I think I read already they're talking to change protocols in the near future that say if you're living in a in an apartment, you know, in a all the building, we need to have a specific system to try to avoid the dissemination of the virus, because we are not going to get rid of the virus very soon. You know, it's some a process that we have to learn how to manage and how to live with that. And the system will be something that will be sprayed probably inside, and until, you know, the contact time is very important as well, how long you need to deactivate the virus, basically. And that is under research now, and probably protocols for AC conditioning. Not here, because we don't see a lot here, more like, you know, if you go to Florida or Texas, that is very hot in the U.S., probably DOTE will be changing all the system, because they have AC practically all the year around. But I agree that it can be disseminated through the, like, airborne. And, you know, and the 2 meters is just to prevent the heavy droplets, because though they will, you know, they will settle down in this distance, but maybe smaller droplets that will travel longer. That's the reason if you have a mask, so you have a second potential layer of defense.
Right. So something that occurs to me with the thought about how this virus is spread is that the science is changing very quickly based on the evidence, but there's a process in which it happens for all of science, but there's a process with which, you know, there's a theory presented, and then there's various different steps of papers and editorials and commentaries, and then there's the peer review and all that stuff. I'm wondering if you can step through for our listeners what that process generally is to go from an idea that one scientist or one medical professional has about, say, the spread of the novel coronavirus, and then it becomes widely accepted and recommended by health authorities like the WHO, the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Well, so I can explain you very fast what is the system. Suppose you have doing a study. Now I want to study if coronavirus is disseminated through, say, ventilation. And then I have in my lab, so I have to build kind of a structure or model that will mimic what will happen in real life. Because you cannot go to the big building and start to do and spread the virus there. You know, of course, it's crazy. They are not going to be allowed. So you have to do in specific a containment level, what we call. Now, supposedly I'm doing the experiment and I got so I found that, you know, exposing to that material at that specific flow of the air or that specific dose of the compound, I know that I'm inactivating the virus, say, after 5 minutes that is in contact with the compound, okay? So now what I'm doing, I collect data, I prepare a manuscript, what we call before, that is accepted as a paper, and I send to a journal. Okay, so the journal, they have basically a what we call the academic editor that will take the paper, the manuscript. I will check first, you know, if it doesn't make sense or not, because you may be right what you do, but maybe it's not accepted as a standard for that specific experiment. And if it's not accepted, you have to provide a protocol to convince the one that will approve your paper that it's right. So one supposes that everything is okay, it's a new concept. So you said you choose basically between 2 or 3 reviewers. Means there are people in the field that they will understand what you want to publish, and they will make an assessment. Okay. So supposedly your study is coming to me, and I will say, well, it's a very interesting study, but the methodology you use is unacceptable because A, B, C, D. And then you have the option either accept the paper, make revisions, or reject. So supposedly that the editor what is doing is collecting 2 or 3 reviews, whatever is, you know, it's very hard to get today reviewers because it's a situation and not you have to spend time and it's free. You don't get paid for that. So supposedly I get now 3 reviewers and I'm analyzing and I say, okay, one accept, they say, okay, minor changes, well, you have to do ABCD, change the graph, and so on. There is another, and the other two, they say reject, means that all the information that you provide in your discussion and your conclusion is not supported by the results. So if I am the editor, I will say, I'm so sorry, your paper, your manuscript has been revised by three referees or reviewers that are considered experts in the field, and they are not in favor to publish your study. So you get the rejection. You can make what is called rebuttal, but if it's too strong, you know, the comments that they tell you, you know what, it doesn't make sense. So what you do, you look for another journal that maybe not so strict. And that's a point that you go down and down and say, oh, I published the paper, but the people that review this paper may be people that they are not the expert. They accept it because X, Y reason, they don't have anything to do, but may not be the expert in the field. And that is the point, at a certain level, you get publication of papers that the journal may not be in a good reputation. So that's a problem we have in science, that's another problem. But definitely, if it's a good journal that will accept your paper, it's known that specific journal will say, okay, no, that I know this journal is very trustable, so it's in science for 100 years, so it's okay. So once you publish that, then people take that and can use for guidelines. So supposedly you find that 5 minutes, the contact time using that product is inactivating the virus. So what they will do, the guideline will say, okay, we recommend to the government or whatever that needs to be using this compound after 5 minutes contact time, that would be enough. And that is the way that the guidelines are changing all the time. And, you know, when we know more and more, that's the way. Now we know that maybe potentially through the AC or the ventilation, so that will come something in the future. We say, okay, you are building a new building, apartment, or whatever, you have to use this protocol because that is set by the city that you need to have that in order to prevent infection. The same, if you're in a earthquake area, they will say you have to build with that code because that code is protecting your building, basically. So that takes time. It's not from one day to the second day. But I think now, because of the situation, all these decisions are going very fast. We can fast track what we call, you know, cannot wait 3 years as do it regularly because, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and to your point, the science changes. Science is largely a living document, and what was known and accepted as fact yesterday can change tomorrow.
Definitely. Of course, because you are new techniques, there are new instruments. Sometimes you can measure stuff that you couldn't measure 6 months ago because came a new instrument that is allowing you to get more precise information. Or something new is a new algorithm or a new a program that allows you to analyze in a better way. Definitely, it's true. And the same with the you know, medicine. So you use that specific medicine today, and in 6 months came to the market another medicine that is superior because they found that is reducing, say, the level of cholesterol in your blood in a better way. It doesn't have side effects. It doesn't produce X, Y, Z. So that is for the doctors to adopt or not this new medication. You say, okay, you know, I want to avoid that you will have a heart attack in 5 years if you take this drug because it's no. So take this one that they found that, you know, you are not going to have or maybe delay for 10 years. So it's just moving all the time. It's never rest. That's the beauty of science. You know, you have to be updated all the time. Yeah. It's crazy, but that's the way. Yeah. We are crazy. I know that, yeah.
Well, that's a conversation for another day.
Yes.
Through the last, March, so almost 6 months, how has the guidance, where does the guidance stand on preventing the spread of coronavirus stand? Is it still keep your distance, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear a face covering where you can't keep your distance, and then also stay in your home as much as possible? Is that still the best guidance?
They say also if you don't need to go to your work because you can work from home, stay home. You know, you don't need to be exposed. And definitely, you know, people need to wear the mask, especially when you go in small spaces like a public transportation that now is mandatory. The problem is how you enforce that. I heard from people around that, you know, they go in the buses and sometimes there are two or three without the mask. And, you know, what you do, you cannot put the police in every bus to see if you wear or not. And I don't know the bus driver, what is the what they can do, basically, you know. And the basically, as what they what is suggested also, ventilation. Don't stay in small rooms with certain number of people. Needs to be open as much as you can. And if you need to stay closer, just make sure that the change of air in the room is very high. There is a very nice video that I watched yesterday in CNN came that I'm inviting the audience to watch. It's very interesting. It's a study made in Japan that it was in a restaurant. So what they did, they give to one of the person kind of a gel that is glow under black light.
Medical experts teamed up with the country's public broadcaster, NHK, in an experiment that simulates a cruise ship's buffet-style restaurant. First, one of 10 participants rubs his palms with special liquid only visible under black light. He represents an infected person who had coughed into his hands. Then he joins 9 others as they spoon food onto their plates and sit down to eat.
So it is very interesting that after 30 minutes, all the people in the room were already infected. It's not infected, it's with this fluorescent glow in the basically. And you see basically the what they touch, the faces, the table, etc. But when you do the same, but covering your mouth and keeping distance and disinfecting, then they ask every person that was dining there, okay, wash your hands. They provide kind of a piece of disinfectant, you know, these towels with disinfectant just to clean your hands. And they found basically that after 30 minutes, nobody got this compound. So it looks like it's efficient. And we see here, you know, we are very, I would say, more, it's a little more strict here than compared to other countries. Even in other countries, it's crazy. They don't follow the rules, but here I think we are still in very good shape because the number is amazingly low here, you know, in BC. It's very, very low compared with other cities that are the same size around the world. And I think because people, you know, respect and take a prudent distance and everything. So that's the reason. But it looks like it's reducing a lot. You are not covered 100%. It doesn't mean that if you have a mask, you will never get the disease, you know, because we don't know other ways that can be the virus can penetrate. I don't know if maybe through the eyes. That's the reason they say don't scratch your eyes. Or sometimes, you know, you scratch your nose and or you move a little your mask. So it's not 100%, but it's a huge difference compared to, say, a face without the mask or protection or socializing, you know, after 2 meters and so on. So I think that we didn't have it and it should be something, you know, that you have to disinfect your hands all the time, you know, with alcohol, the sanitizer, hand sanitizers. That's especially when you go to public areas where, you know, a lot of people are touching. We call that touching a surface. And that's the point that, you know, you have to make sure that if you touch something, remember to clean your hands after because you can grab the virus and, you know, without attention, you can put in your body as well. But, there are some studies done to show that the virus can be more than 12 hours, 24 hours, for apparently long term outside of the body surviving. Of course, if it's under the sun or some special condition, not. I guess not because, you know, the heat basically will destroy part of the membrane that is in the virus. But, you know, in common places that you go, a restaurant, whatever, it can last probably for a while. So we have to be very precautious to not to touch surfaces and then, you know, introduce by yourself. That is the main, I guess, probably one of the main sources of infection is that we don't pay attention because sometimes, you know, you scratch, we are talking, so it's something that we do naturally. It's not, so you have to be be sure now that you change your habits as well.
Last episode, we asked Dr. Bock about the progress in testing a vaccine for the novel coronavirus. AstraZeneca, a British-Swedish multinational pharmaceutical company, has been working with Oxford University to study a potential vaccine. Recently, they've had to put a pause on that work to review a, quote, potentially unexplained illness in the UK. According to a statement from AstraZeneca sent to Stat News, CNN, and CNBC, a spokesperson said, quote, a standard review process triggered a pause to vaccination to allow review of safety data, calling it a routine action, to make sure the vaccine in a phase 3 trial is safe for broader use. And a recent report from the United Nations said that despite an initial dip in greenhouse gas emissions early in this pandemic, those emissions will reach a record high in 2020. During a lockdown and reduced activity in countries around the world, emissions dropped to levels on par with 2006. But the dip earlier this year represents only a blip in the buildup of climate-warming carbon dioxide levels. The report warned that climate change is expected to put hundreds of millions at risk of flooding and make access to fresh water more difficult. This is Why is produced by me, Adam Toy, and Dave McIver. It's a national radio show and a podcast. You can reach us by email, thisiswhy@globalnews.ca, and on Twitter, @thisiswhy. If you like what you hear and want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to This Is Why so you never miss an episode. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And if you like what you're hearing, tell a friend. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and wash your hands. We'll see you soon.